Here we go. Let's get these questions from the DMs.
Yep.
That's what I heard. So, what do you want to tell you? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to That's What I Heard. My name is Little Frex. In the studio today, we have a very important guest. Everybody, please welcome Devin Walker.
Hey. What's up?
So, we were just taking a trip down musical memory lane.
That's right.
And it reminded me of one of my favorite memories of you, which is when you were selling playlists.
Yes.
You were not selling mixtapes.
No, I was not. I was not creating any original music at all.
But you were doing the modern day version of selling playlists. I believe I bought one for $10.
I believe that. How was it?
Like, it was a lot of Jack Harlow. I go, this is a lot of Jack Harlow. And you go, well, as a white rapper, I was just trying to connect with you.
I was trying to meet you where I thought you were. That's a huge part of the art of making playlists. During the pandemic, I was making playlists for like $10 a pop.
Yep.
Just like... I think, but like, I genuinely do enjoy doing it. Like, I like putting songs together for people. And then I was also like, well, let's see if I can get a couple bucks. Genuinely, Frex, I think I made like $1,400.
That's incredible.
Making different people playlists. It was kind of lucrative.
And did that feel like the most money you'd had in a while?
At one shot. At that point, absolutely. Cause like that, I got a job right at the very beginning of the pandemic that like, set me up to be like decently stable.
Yeah.
But like up until that point, like I moved to New York in 2018. 2018, 2019, and the beginning of 2020 was like real struggle hours.
Dark times.
Real like.
I remember being at a bar with you and you'd like order a ginger ale and then pull a bottle out of your pocket and put whiskey in it.
I was living like that.
You were living like that.
I was living like that.
And then he comes up, hey, you want to buy a playlist?
Bro, I was really living like that.
I was like, yeah, take a playlist. You really were.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what, there's different paths. I think people, look, I've lived many lives. I feel like I deserve to be living nice because I used to live like that with 100%. Some Jameson in a JanSport.
I remember that.
I was living like that.
You know what? I agree. I've lived 100 lives.
Yep.
And when my day comes, I will have zero guilt.
I mean, it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. So you moved on from the playlist JanSport whiskey life.
Yeah, fortunately.
And now we're in the SNL era.
That's right.
Anything you can or want to share? We don't have to dwell on it. We can move on quickly.
About SNL?
Yeah. How's it been?
It's the hardest job I've ever done in my life. Yeah, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. But it also, like, I feel really grateful for it. It definitely changed my life in a lot of ways. I've never been sleepier, but I've also, it teaches you a lot about yourself. Like, I learned a lot of things. Like, who knew? I could do impressions. I never knew that before.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's not a skill that really translates to any other job, but I can do it on my job and it translates and like, yeah, I'm grateful for it, but I'm also very grateful to be in the summertime.
Yeah. So what's the summer feeling like for you? Any plans?
I'm having a blast, Frex.
Really?
I'm having a really nice summer. I just took a trip with my lady. We went to the islands. We was down in the Caribbean.
Which islands?
We went to St. Lucia.
Okay.
We were down there. We were getting taxed by them Caribbeans, I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
Them Caribbeans was really, everything was an extra fee in a way that was like astonishing.
But were you happy to pay it?
No, okay. I wasn't happy to pay it, but I was happy to be on a nice vacation.
How much cash did you go down with?
I didn't bring any cash down, but I did go to the ATM on several occasions.
Huge fee.
I had to go to the ATM. Yeah. And that's going to be another charge.
Yeah.
Also, we went to the beach. When our girl went to the beach, they were like, oh, you got to check out this beach. It's at this other resort. We go to the beach. The beach, it's not the best beach on the island.
Right.
I will say that. And then also when we get to the beach, the guy was like, oh, do you want to sit on those chairs? We were like, absolutely. He goes, great. That'll be $25 a pop.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, because when we got there, I was like, why are all these people sitting on towels on the sand? Like, there's all these chairs right here. And then he charged us $50 for chairs. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They've learned something. But took a nice trip. I'm going to the Olympics.
Okay, this is huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me everything that you want to tell me about that, and then I have questions about the Olympics. I want to talk sports with you.
Yeah, I'm going to the Olympics in Paris this summer. I'm very excited.
For work or for just for fun?
Bro, I'm not going to lie to you. I really was trying to get there for work. Yeah. I was like, I was looking at all the avenues that I could possibly. Yeah, I was like, hey, like I was like hitting up NBC and hitting up all these different people.
Who'd you
like,
hit up at NBC?
I hit up. There's a lady who does like PR stuff.
Okay.
And they were like, that's who you should reach out to that lady.
Okay.
I hit that lady up and she kept just being like, maybe. And then I like looked and it's like, I'm not ready yet. I'm not like at that point where they're like, oh yeah, we need Devin on NBC.
Yeah, yeah.
One day.
The move is you got to start going live after every big event.
Oh my God.
And do your own recap so they see what you're capable of.
You're probably right. But I think going live on Instagram.
Not on YouTube.
YouTube live.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know that existed. YouTube live
with somebody that is like knowledgeable about sports. Okay. And you bring the comedic element to it.
That's all I was trying to
do. And then you show NBC what you're capable of. And before we know it, Winter Olympics, you're commentating on the figure skating. This is all I'm saying.
I need to get you on my team.
I should be on the team.
I need to get you on my team because you're proposing some really good ideas right now.
Yeah, because I also want to be in like a funny sports commentating lane.
That's all I want to do.
But no one will takes me seriously, obviously, at this juncture.
Same.
So I just started doing like NBA recaps live.
Have you gotten to do any stuff with the NBA?
Not at all. But one day, Devin.
But you're on the path.
I'm
to
laying the history where they look back and they go, oh, she just did that because she loved it.
Yes.
It wasn't for anything or for anyone, really. It was just like, that's what she loves. And you have to start laying the groundwork.
That happened with F1.
Excuse me?
F1 racing?
I don't even know what that is.
F1 became like a big thing because of the Netflix show.
Yes, yes, uh-huh. Okay.
And then all of a sudden there were all these like F1 shows with like Will Arnett and people that were just like, oh, Will Arnett's funny. He loves F1. Let's just give him a show about F1.
And those are the types of people who get those jobs. And that is what I'm realizing now.
Right.
It's like actual celebrities who they have that stuff. Not Devin.
Which event are you most excited? Because I'm going to do Olympic recaps, actually. Maybe I'll have you.
Oh, you're doing it too?
Yeah, maybe you could be one of my on the ground.
I would love to.
Commentators.
And this is how it happens. This is how it begins for both of us.
This is how we link.
Yeah.
This is how we make our dreams come true. Yeah. I've always wanted to be one of those people who turns their hobbies into like their job.
That's it. That's it right there.
So which sports are you excited about? Me personally, basketball is going to be crazy.
I mean, of course, basketball. Of course, track. Those are kind of the...
Yeah.
Marquee events that I'm going to be focused on, but I really like all the niche stuff.
Okay, tell me.
I really like watching like ping pong and like synchronized diving and like racquetball. Like I really like watching all the like skateboarding. I'm gonna watch skateboarding.
Is skateboarding in?
It was in the last Olympics. Wow. I don't know if it's
what a
back
come up.
Again. They also have 3-on-3 basketball, which I'm kind of interested. I like watching all the stuff that you don't normally see on TV.
Right.
I think that's one of my favorite parts about the Olympics is like, oh, now they have like all the gymnast events. I like all the gymnast, especially the uneven bars.
Of course, yeah.
I really rock with the uneven bars because it looks like something that I could only really dream of.
Of course.
Like, you know, some sports you watch and you're like,
like, I could do that.
You're at least like, I could do, you know, we've played ball together.
Yes.
And it's like, we understand at least the physical mechanics that it takes to do stuff on the basketball
court. You have a human body that could potentially play that sport.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And then you see something like someone on a pommel horse and you go, not my body.
Right. No.
Not my body.
There's no world in which I could do even the simplest move.
Yeah. Sometimes you just see gymnasts. You're just like, what?
Yeah.
How did they even think of trying that?
Yeah.
Difference. You know? Now that's confidence.
I mean, truly.
Have you ever see someone get the yips?
I haven't really, I've heard of it. I'm familiar with it.
I've actually never seen it either, but I was hoping maybe you had.
Wait, no. Because the yips is a golf thing, but there's a gymnast version of it.
Someone had it though recently. That's
Simone Biles.
Was it? No.
She had, they call it the twisties.
Twisties.
They call it the twisties, like, where you like lose track of yourself in the air and you like can't perform.
And then the way that shakes your confidence makes it hard to just take those leaps of faith.
Exactly.
Once you know how hurt you can get.
Exactly. I mean, that's, how do you know? But I guess that's why they start you doing that when you're like 4.
Right.
You know, because like you don't have any fear of like.
Your brain is wired to do the twisties.
Exactly. Like I went skiing for the first time like 2 years ago and you can't learn how to start skiing as a full grown adult. because I know too much. I know too much about what could happen to my body.
You're like, where are my toes? For real.
You know what I mean?
For real, where are my toes? What the fuck is this?
I'm like, this isn't, I'm not meant to be doing this. That's mm-hmm. where you got to start dangerous stuff when you're a kid.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Okay, tell me what you guys think about this, because you're like sports guys.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Wait, let me back up.
Okay.
Remember we went to the basketball game, the Knicks game?
We did.
Which now those seats probably seem so lame to you. Now you probably get amazing SNL seats now.
Hey, thank you for having me, Frex.
Well, yeah, back in the day, though, before...
What a way to answer that question.
I really did appreciate that. That was very nice of you.
Of course, you get nice ass.
You know what it is like, Lauren has seats.
Okay.
Lauren has seats to the Knicks and to the Yankees. And if he's not using them, like if you claim them early enough, mm-hmm. you can have those seats.
Okay.
And that's actually what it is. And his seats are really good.
Yeah.
The Lauren Yankee seats are literally the ones directly behind home plate.
Have you been? Have you done that?
Oh, yeah.
It must be nuts.
I go as much as I possibly can.
That's awesome.
I have like people planning on coming from out of town so that we can like,
right.
I got seats booked for like September.
Really? So I should be embarrassed that I invited you to that Knicks game. But this was before SNL.
Not at all. I love going. I also love, that's why I love the Olympics. And that's why I'm so excited to be there, because I love going to literally any live sporting event.
Right.
I just like, whether or not I'm a fan, I'll go. I really want to go see a Rangers hockey game.
Yes.
I've never seen one before, but
hockey's
like,
the best live sport.
Dude, yeah.
For sure.
I've only been to like two hockey games in my life.
It's one awesome.
There was an Islanders game at, Barclays Center that mm-hmm. I went to see once, and then I saw like a minor league game in my hometown. We used to have a minor league hockey team.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Austin Ice Bats.
Shout out to them, the Ice Bats.
The Austin Ice Bats. They had a sick mascot. It was literally a bat holding a hockey stick.
Wait, ice bats or ice baths?
Bats.
That's so funny, because Austin is so ice bath now. I thought you were saying ice baths.
That's true. That is present day Austin.
Yeah.
Which is,
that's what it should be called now.
It's a different thing. The bats. I wonder, the team doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, wait. So, but when we went to that game, I was going to the games, but I didn't even watch the games. I didn't care. I didn't know any of the players.
Okay, yeah.
That's the first time I ever heard of Kelly Oubre. I was like, Devin, who is this person?
That's a really awesome pull. Kelly Oubre specifically is very funny.
So, but since then, I've gotten like super into the NBA.
I'm seeing that.
Yeah, I'm like really into it. But I got into this argument with people the other day. That really upset me, because I was saying, do you agree basketball is like your favorite sport or no?
Yeah, I think now. I grew up in Texas as a real football guy.
Yeah.
But now I think basketball is fully my favorite.
Because sport. It's like everyone's using their primary limbs, right? Their hands. Yes. So everything can be so precise. Uh-huh. Everything's precise, right? Yes. It's fast moving.
Yeah.
And it's like high reward because there's so many baskets. So I was arguing with someone the other day that like soccer is a very approximate sport. It's very mm-hmm. imprecise. Mm-hmm. How many times a game do they just kick the ball into a group and hope your guy's there?
All the time.
Yeah.
And they're arguing back to me. They're saying, you don't understand soccer. I'm saying, are you high?
Soccer guys are so annoying.
It was
they
girls.
Really are.
Soccer guys.
Devin, it was girls.
Even, I mean, soccer guys is gender neutral.
Gotcha.
Soccer guys is like, just people who are into soccer are so obnoxious because they feel so superior to you.
Right.
They always are acting like they're better than you. And I'm like, I don't want to watch it. Dude, it's not a better sport.
They love to tell you that you don't understand soccer.
They said, I'm not stupid. I watch, and I actually watch the games because I love to gamble. So I'm watching the Euro Cup. I am. I watched, Ukraine lost yesterday. Sorry to the people of Ukraine.
Damn, sorry, Ukraine.
But Georgia beat Portugal yesterday. And that guy, Cristiano Ronaldo, I've had it with him.
Yeah. What's his name?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Here's the one thing I know for sure. I might not know a lot about soccer. I try every couple of years to watch it. I always end up just not liking it. Yeah. And the one thing I know for sure is about basketball, that I've watched Vince Carter jump over some Italian guy and dunk, and it was awesome.
And that was and that happened 25 years ago, and it's still so cool.
Still awesome. Yeah, still awesome.
Yeah.
And very rarely do I see something in soccer I go, whoa, he just jumped over a 7-foot man.
Soccer is so tantric. You know what I mean? It's like building up.
That is
will
true.
We ever get a release?
That is true.
Will we, it's like, it's and a tantric
is,
sport.
And that is what the
so
goal,
European.
The goals in soccer do feel
such a release.
So joyous.
Because you've been edging for like 90 minutes.
Literally. That's a great way to put it.
And then you're just like, oh my God, I got a goal.
Oh, yes. That's cool. The guys, that is why the guys do go insane after literally any goal.
And I get it. And the crowd goes insane because it was such a buildup. But this idea that I was just like, I couldn't believe that they weren't understanding what I was saying. I was like, they're not using their primary limbs. So already you're losing an element of precision, mm-hmm. right? And then, yes, sometimes that guy kicks to that guy and then that guy kicks to that guy mm-hmm. and it's on purpose.
Yep.
But 20 times a game, they just kick into the crowd and hope your boy's there.
I mean, that's what like corner kicks. That is like the whole thing. The whole corner kick is like, okay, I'm going to kick into that region and hope one of my guys can
get to
it.
Here we go.
It.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, okay, so, versus like American football, it's like, okay, that guy's running a slant.
Yeah.
It goes right to
precise,
him.
Yeah. Football's very precise.
Too. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm throwing 50 yards down the field to Tyreek Hill, and then he catches and scores a touchdown.
Just think about the playbooks in football too. I mean, it's a system for a reason.
But the most random thing they do in football is when they just kick it.
Yeah.
And you just hope something good happens. That's random. But that happens like what, once, twice a game?
Oh, like a kickoff?
I don't know. They kick it from one end of the field to the other and they run it back.
Or,
I don't know
or
what it's
a punt.
Called.
Yeah.
Whatever. I guess that's a little random. But soccer, you're just kicking to an area and hoping for the best. And these people were arguing with me. Then I got into it a little bit about hockey. I was like, hockey's a little imprecise too. I watched my first hockey game. I watched game 7 the other night. And
I would have guessed
shout out to Alanis Morissette.
I would have guessed you were a hockey fan.
I know. I'm thinking about like it might be culturally for me.
It does feel like it.
It does feel like it. I can get involved next year.
Yeah.
First of all, Alanis Morissette did the
National Anthem
for America and for Canada.
Oh, really?
And
I didn't know you could do dual citizenship.
So she's Canadian, I guess. So she did both.
Yeah.
And she actually was really good, but the crowd was like 17 full beats ahead of her the entire time.
Was she taking it slow or was the audience taking it fast?
It's hard to say, but I just said, hey, welcome to hockey. We're 17 beats off here.
There's nobody rhythmic in the whole audience.
Yeah. Hockey's the least rhythmic sport,
I would say. Yeah. So then I watched it and it's not that I didn't enjoy it, but I go, this also feels a little random.
Yeah.
They jam up in the corner.
Yep.
They're slapping the sticks, elbowing each other, and then they kind of flick it out and hope it goes to their friend.
That is true.
That's every time you shoot. I mean, that's like hockey strategy. There's some like resemblance to basketball because you're trying to create space, but a lot of times when those dudes just like shoot at the net, they're just kind of hoping that one of their guys is by the net and can like rebound it off.
Yep.
So it is a lot of kind of just like, here we go. Hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. So then we agree. Basketball is a one of one sport in what it is as a team sport.
I guess so.
Yeah. Kind of.
It has to be, right? Yeah. Okay. So also, I can't wait to.
Also to go back to the Olympics.
Please.
You know what I think combines sort of the hand throwing motion of basketball, the like usage of the hands, but also like sort of the schematics of soccer is handball.
You ever watch
handball?
No.
That is, you know what? I'm just remembering this. That's something that I can't wait to watch at the Olympics.
Okay.
It's literally, it's guys, it's like water polo. You know water polo, right? It's like water polo, but just with your feet. Like you are running around on you're on land.
Right.
You're running around on land and you've got a ball in your hand and you're trying to chunk it into a goal.
So that's very precise.
I would say so.
I hot take. I think if there was like a major water polo.
Hot
tank? Water polo is super precise
because
it's literally, you're literally just holding it and throwing it. You just have to like stay afloat.
Which is crazy.
If they had that as like if there was a major American water polo league, I think it would be a hit.
Really?
It's kind of fun to watch, don't you think?
I love it. I love watching. It's also really insane because, these guys are in like a deep pool.
Super deep.
When I was a little kid, I used to think they were just standing up in the water and throwing it. They are like treading water for like 45 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And guys are allowed to like hold you underwater.
Yeah,
basically.
They can
tackle you in the water and then you're like holding a guy off and then.
Sounds like Seaside after prom.
Dev's all lost on that one.
I don't know that. I don't understand that. I figured it had
Jersey
like a.
Shore after
that's,
prom,
yeah. Okay, that's what I figured. I figured it was.
But that's how Jokic became such a like a sick ball handler. He was a water polo.
Oh,
really?
Brand.
Yeah, yeah. In
I guess that makes more sense because you could drink a beer while you play it.
Yes.
Yeah. Thoughts on Jokic? Well, what's your team for NBA, by the way?
I'm a San Antonio Spurs fan.
Okay, so Wemby, go off.
I can't wait.
Imagine. Go off.
That's a new section. That could be a new segment of the podcast.
Go off.
Go off.
Go off. Yeah, Victor Wembanyama, really, really special. I cannot wait. It feels, it just feels so good. And I'm also spoiled as a Spurs fan. You know, the Knicks have been, you guys are obviously
losers
Knicks supporters.
For a long time.
The Knicks have had so little, I mean, now y'all are like a real contender.
Yeah.
But the Knicks have had so little hope for such a mm-hmm. long time.
Yeah.
That like, y'all don't know this feeling. I've mostly only known joy mm-hmm. as a Spurs fan.
That's true.
You know what I mean? We've yeah. only, we like had the period of time like between like Kawhi and now. So like the last like 5 years we've been down. But outside of that 5 year period for the last 25 years, we've been like, at least in the mix. We've been like a competitive right. team. And then the last like 2 or 3 years, we've been one of the worst teams in basketball.
Yeah. Dude, but I think it's longer than 25 years at this point. I mean, David Robinson.
But I wasn't around for like peak Robinson. I was like a little kid. Like I didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And the 99 championship was the first, because my brother was a Bulls fan. And the 98 championship when Jordan won it, was like, that was one of my first basketball memories. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, I remember my dad's like really Christian and like David Robinson's also really Christian.
Yeah.
So like David Robinson, every time he'd win, he'd be like, I got to give all glory to God. Yes. And my dad would be like, that guy's awesome. And so that genuinely is where my Spurs fandom came from, is like my dad saw a really straight-laced like Christian
yeah.
guy
yeah.
and he was like, we should root for them. And like pretty much from 99 until now, we've almost always been good, and we're still not very good right now.
Yeah.
But having him, it's like, not, we have that. We will be.
You will be.
It's going to happen.
You have that goofy ass point guard guy.
Which one?
Sochan.
It's Jeremy Sochan. They were trying to play
him. I like him, but he just wasn't working at that position.
He's not supposed to. Wow. You really have been watching basketball.
I learned everything in 1 year.
Wow. Yeah. This is impressive.
Because I really want to like do something funny with sports.
Yeah, you're right. We did. We were playing Sochan at point guard, which, for what? I guess Pop was really just being like, I don't care what happens this year. Like,
yeah, dude,
it made no sense. But that's how I feel. I can't wait. We have like this is the fourth generational talent that I've gotten to watch.
Huge.
If you include Kawhi, who like,
definitely.
Included. You know, yeah, he's definitely, you know,
he won a ring.
Four guys who are probably going to be like in the top 100 best basketball players of all time.
Yep.
And they've all been on my team. I'm blessed.
Blessed.
I really can't complain.
Beautiful.
I am worried, though, that we will be bad for too long and then he won't want to play in San Antonio anymore. That is a real fear of mine, that we will lose him out of ineptitude.
How long is the rookie contract?
4 years.
So you have 4 years.
Well, we have, but then after the third year.
Wasn't it? Yes, three with the extension.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. After your third year, that's when you decide if you want to sign the extension. If you sign the extension,
I don't think anybody's ever
opted out.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done it. Yet.
Someone's going to be the first.
Yeah, but no one's ever had an 8-foot wingspan before, Mike.
Right.
So.
True. Yeah. No
so
one's
better
ever
get it together. Okay.
Who's ever been 7'4" and been able to do like between the legs, pull ups, step backs.
Yeah.
And he seems just like he would honestly be a good New York Knick. He has the New York Knicks mentality.
No.
Yeah. Yes, he would.
No.
He's not going to be, but I'm saying he would be, because New York Knicks energy right now is no clubbing.
That's true. Oh, guys don't party.
The culture is like no clubs.
Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
If you wear sunglasses in the club, you're traded immediately.
Yeah,
that's
and
true.
And I think that I think that Wemby is kind of an art nerd from everything I could tell.
He's super French.
He takes his body like really seriously.
There was an article where it says
he's a guy like to draw.
He turns his phone off after like 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And that went viral. The people were just like, yo, he doesn't look at his phone before he goes to sleep. It's like, what?
Yo, no,
he's like
TikTok?
A normal person.
That is not normal. You guys are turning your phone off before you go to sleep?
No, but like, so this is the thing. I just mean like, it's funny that you think he fits with the Knicks culture. I don't disagree.
AP nerd energy, loves basketball, wants to practice.
I think he reminds me a lot of Kareem personality wise.
I've never heard of him.
He was like the best basketball player of the 70s.
Yeah.
He's probably top 5 basketball player of all time.
Super smart guy, like professional ball player, like has thoughts outside of basketball, like is not a dumb jock by any stretch of the imagination.
That's true.
Like super thoughtful dude.
Yeah.
Who like likes to read and shit like that, and is just like a killer on the basketball court.
Anytime an athlete likes to read, it is such a big piece of news. Everybody's, can you believe this?
Stephen
guy read 8 books last year. This shit is nuts.
Stephen A. Smith goes straight to camera. 8 books.
True. It is such
a big news. You should be in the gym, young fella.
He out here reading Tolstoy. Why are you doing that if you want to win a championship?
My brother.
Oh,
is. All right, we have to get off sports for my female listeners to commit suicide.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. Okay, so the topic of today's episode, because this is our, just for our audience, this is our last day in the studio. We are moving to a new, bigger studio, moving on up.
Yeah.
The topic is going to be moving. Any notable moves in your life? Lateral, upwards, downwards, moving on, anything?
I mean, I literally moved apartments
in
April. I literally moved like almost 3 months ago. And so I moved, it was time. I got a COVID deal in 2021 and like had a really good rent on like a big shitty apartment. And I'd been living there for the last 3 years and it was just time. I needed to get air conditioning.
Yeah.
That was like my big goal for this summer is to not have to live a window unit lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to be once you like get a better job or something, it's like, but you don't change your surroundings. It's like, okay, I was just chilling with Ryan Gosling. Now I got to come home and turn my box fan on. What the fuck is this?
I mean, kind of. It's like, I can't stress enough how much me and Ryan Gosling were not hanging out. I really, really can't stress enough how much.
I was just trying to think of someone who hosted this.
But it was kind of that. I was kind of like, I can't be on TV every week and live in a, there was just like, I'll find it. There was just a leak anytime it would rain.
Yeah.
Like the like little area above my window would just pool up with water.
Yeah.
And then like the guy who was supposed to come fix it wouldn't come for like weeks.
New York City, baby.
You know what I mean?
And like, that all right, was like, get the pots.
Like literally I was working on Saturday Night Live and I was living in an apartment that didn't have heat. I didn't have heat for like 6 weeks and I kept being like, hey, landlord, can you fix my heat? Can you fix my heat? And he's like, oh, I got you, bro. And then he brought in four different space heaters and he was like, that should take care of it. And I was like, I gotta live different.
Yeah. It was like, and you pay the Con Ed. So this is actually on you.
for four space heaters. It's like, yeah. So I moved into a new spot. It's a better building, but it's still not like insane. I don't have a doorman.
But it has a silver refrigerator.
I got a silver refrigerator, which I do think is like, that's the dividing line, I do feel like.
Line of demarcation.
Yeah.
Silver refrigerator means you've crossed over into the next phase.
What kind of fridge you got?
White still.
How about you, man?
You got a silver or white fridge?
I do have a silver fridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm very close to silver fridge. I just want to, don't worry about me.
I
also didn't even know about the silver fridge, white fridge thing until like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Where like one of my friend's girlfriends who's like doing really well was like, she like posted a caption and she was like, y'all white fridge bitches can't fuck with me. Y'all bitches over there with y'all white fridge and y'all white stove thinking you could pair with me. You can't. And I was like, wait, what? Is that a status symbol? I grew up in a white fridge household.
Of course, everyone did.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they did. You had to be like wealthy to have silver fridge back in our day. They're more accessible now.
I see. Yes, okay, silver fridges weren't even popping when we were kids. I remember people having like black fridges.
Silver fridge was like if you had like one rich friend and you were just like, man, I would love to live the way that they live.
It was literally the one friend who had a pool.
Yep.
Yeah.
You'd go sit out by the pool, get all roasty, toasty, sunburned.
Yep.
You go in with they had the tile floors, little bare burnt feet on the tile floors. Mm-hmm. Okay, the blast of the central air hits you. Mm-hmm. And then you go over to the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy silver fridge.
Yeah. Ice machine.
Yeah.
Okay.
The ice machine was a big deal too.
That was not common.
If you had the ice machine and where you could put the glass to fill the water from, like in the fridge, that was like fucking high luxury.
You guys on the East Coast really live worse.
We have a hard.
Wait, you had that,
bro? So much stuff that I took for granted growing up in Texas, and like not like in just like a normal suburb in Texas. You moved to New York, and it's like, bro, it's like washer dryers.
Oh, forget it.
Central air, sun.
Yeah.
Like these are things that are luxuries when I came over here that I didn't realize that some people just live in the dark here.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the daytime and it's just pitch black in your house.
Yeah.
That's crazy how y'all live on the East
Every
Coast.
Every middle of the road medical biller in Texas has an ice machine.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Like that is not even luxury.
And for us, it's like one day, if I suffer for long enough, I will get an ice maker.
Come to think of it, I don't have one.
Well,
yeah, I still don't have one.
No, it's kind of like the way big screen TVs when we were kids were like a status symbol.
Oh, yes.
And now they're kind of like more normal.
Well, Well, now you can get one at Walmart for like $200.
When I found out literally anybody could get a TV, I was 29 years old. I was like, no, wait a minute. We can just get one like for $300 and they look like the...
And they're that's new. You can get like that's like the last decade.
You can get like a 60-inch TV for like $260.
Exactly.
Versus, remember like the big boys?
Sorry,
we're about to sound old right now.
Like this. But
no, they're this wide, and you'd be like, and that'd be the guy who would like be like, oh, I'm getting the fight. I'm getting the fight over here, and I got buffalo dip, and dude, like you'd be like, we're watching the fight at Mike's house.
And the TV went down and like rested on the floor, and the floor was always wall to wall carpet.
Yeah.
And there was like some like blunt guts scattered everywhere. Around the TV.
There were years in my life where the only place I saw big screen TVs were like Biggie Smalls videos.
Getting into real archetypes here. And I like this. We're getting into real appliance related archetypes. And this is important.
We're really getting into the bare bones of which appliances are for rich people. No. But we're starting to
changing.
What are rich people refrigerators now?
We don't even know.
They're the smart ones. Like, you know how there's some people that have fridges that they control with their app, you know?
Oh, yeah. And now I think they have a thing where, like, they can, like, keep inventory.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And they do, like, I've seen on TikTok people have a salad bar in their fridge. Like, they pull out a drawer and it's like a pre-made salad bar.
What?
And then there's these doors that open twice. So you can press a button and open the front of the door. And it has, like, let's say your milks and your whatever. And then you open the door again and has all your beers. It's just a whole new level of compartmentalization. We're not there yet. But.
No, I didn't even.
But we'll get there.
I wasn't even aware that this was stuff that you even could have.
This is available.
Okay.
This is available.
That's because we're still not in that tax bracket.
All you have to do is have a good day on the TikTok shop and you can get that. Okay.
Wait, speaking of appliances and like households and kitchens and stuff like that, another thing that I've learned in the last truly like year of my life is that it's like more luxurious to like have a hidden trash can.
Oh, yes.
That is like a brand new thing that I didn't realize. Yep.
Out and about trash cans are trashy. Yep. I have out and about trash can. Trash can versus silver trash can is a huge demarcation line. Yep.
Oh, I've never even thought
like
about that.
Like a white plastic trash can that you could get at any like hardware store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's trash. Yeah.
That's trash.
Yeah, yeah.
Out and about. Huh. Then the next level up is an out and about silver.
That's what I used to have in my old apartment.
With the foot pedal to pop it open.
Mm-hmm. But then the next level up on top of that,
bust it wide open.
The next level above that is the silver trash can with the foot pedal that also has a separate thing for recyclables.
Right.
Oh.
You know? I don't love that because it cuts down on the space that I have to put my trash in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel you. You
know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah,
I do. I like a separate, separate recycling console.
Recycling receptacle.
But then the next level, and this goes back to the girl with the pool with the tile floors and the central AC and the silver fridge back in the day. She also had the trash that comes out of the drawer next to the sink.
I got that now.
You got that now.
I got that now. But it was also, it was truly built into the apartment. It was just already there when I got there. I open up a drawer and it's got the trash and the recycling in two separate bins. Yep. I really.
Devin had the taste to know. I'm in the hide the trash level now. You didn't even have to have it built in. You just knew when you saw the apartment, you were like,
what do you mean you're in a hide the trash level? Because I see you with Dos Toros bags all around the studio sometimes.
No.
So what's going on?
No, I'm talking about Devin. I'm saying Devin is in the hide the trash tax bracket.
Oh, yes. Okay. But are you out and about trash?
Yes, I have it, but I have a silver trash can.
Okay. Yeah. I'm out and about. Yeah.
Well, you live in New Jersey too.
Yeah.
You don't got it. You could have a silver trash
can. And not only am I living in New Jersey, I'm living in the Heights. You know, I live Manuel era.
Wait, what?
I don't know. I live up a big hill.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not familiar with.
It doesn't.
I never even go over there.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been to Hoboken twice.
Yeah.
I love Hoboken.
Really?
Thoughts on Hoboken? I thought it was awesome.
I mean, it felt like it's crazy that it is next to New York City because it felt like you were like fully. I felt like I was in a different state. Right. Well, I guess literally I was. But
For some reason, you feel closer to New York because whatever
you can see it.
The way the view feels to me of the city feels so much closer than it ever does when you're looking from like Brooklyn or something.
I 100% agree with that. It just feels like it. You feel like you are like in every other part of America because, you know, you tour around America and like every part of America kind of looks the same. Like there are not that many things that like Denver looks like Austin, which looks like Seattle, like all these places, they all look exactly the same. somehow Jersey feels like you could be in any other place in America. The only difference is like you can see the city right there.
I know. Yeah. I'm a Hoboken believer now.
Hey. I've always said if Jersey City and Hoboken, like collectively, because they're kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
If they were in any other place of the country that wasn't like a mile from New York City, people would think it was kind of like a cool city.
Oh, interesting.
But because it's right next to New York, I think it kind of loses some brownie points because you're just kind of like, well, why wouldn't you just go the extra mile into Manhattan?
Well, I mean, we've had this fight before. I think it's awesome that people who are like, you know what? I'm going to stop here. They were inching closer and closer to living in this in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got to Hoboken and they said, you know what?
I'm good.
I've gone far enough.
Mm.
Not everyone needs to have a dream. Okay.
Well, the thing is, even if you got a dream, you could still just, you could just take the train across.
You could take the train across and then still live your dream. You won't, but you could.
But you won't.
And that's fine just to stop just short.
Yeah.
All your shining city.
Have you started really preaching the gospel of Jersey? Because I do feel like anytime anybody leaves from the city proper and moves to Jersey, they're always like, it's really not that far.
It's really not that far.
You just hop on the train. It's only 15 minutes to get to Midtown. Actually, when you think about it, Jersey City actually closer than where you live in Clinton Hill. I could be to Midtown way faster. Like my rent's only $1,200. You over there paying that, like you stupid actually. Like that's what happens anytime anybody starts living in Jersey. They always start doing this.
It's crazy that somehow you just read a transcript from my text messages because yes, I have started doing the speech.
Yeah.
I start going, you know, I gotta say, I like it. I really like it.
You gotta put your hands up when you
take a breath. I like it.
I like it over there.
How long did it take me to get it today? An hour. That's
okay.
To
Williamsburg, it's definitely faster to live where I live for sure.
Yeah.
But I
used to live in Williamsburg. And you know what? I was over it.
I lived in Williamsburg for like the biggest chunk of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Williamsburg in January 2020 and lived there until December.
On like Metropolitan, right?
Not
to give your like, coordinates, but I remember you lived somewhere over there.
I don't live there anymore. But like, yeah, I used to live off of like Metropolitan and Driggs. I lived like right there, right by the Williamsburg Cinema. That was a block away from my old apartment.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, now you've moved on up. You're happier. I'm happier in Jersey. Mike, any good moves?
Good moves? That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, my first move into my solo apartment was kind of the first time in my life where I moved into, you know, silver refrigerator, silver trash can. And that was a big step. I really felt like I had made it. And then pretty immediately after that 1 year of living in Long Island City was just like, all right, well, maybe I didn't make it as nice as I thought I did. Not yet, but it was a step. Because up to that point, I was living full white refrigerator, roommates, like all sorts of... It's a big step when you finally get out of the roommate part of your life.
The first move out of the roommate culture.
Do you have roommates right now?
No.
Hey, can we just get a quick round of applause?
Yeah, for us.
Can we just get a quick
round of applause? We did it, guys. We escaped.
We all did it. It really feels like in New York City, when you get to the point where you don't have to have roommates anymore, it feels like, or in New Jersey, it feels like you like beat the game.
Yep.
You know, you're like, whoa, I made it to the final boss and I beat that final boss.
Dude,
like,
many people leave before they get there. Because they're kind of just like, I can't do this anymore. And those are the people that inevitably do that Jersey. It's really not that bad. You can take the Jersey Transit. It usually works. Sometimes it works, you know?
What's the max amount of roommates that any of y'all ever had?
I had a total of four.
I had four.
So it was me plus three. And it was actually, that was when I lived in Bushwick. And actually the best move I ever made was out of Bushwick. The most exciting one I ever made was out of Bushwick. But that was the nicest apartment I've ever had to date.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, the nicest apartments are in... You know, the nicest apartments are in like Sunset Park.
Yeah.
The nice apartments are like in the neighborhoods that like everybody's not hanging out in.
Yeah.
Like that's where all the like it's you got to go to like Kensington.
What about like Ridgewood? You can get a backyard there.
I'm not going to Queens.
You're not doing it.
I won't.
You didn't come all the way here from Texas to live in fucking Queens.
Yes. I'm not going to. No shade to Queens. No disrespect. I got homies that's from Queens. But. Something about there's a mental barrier, I think, with me in Queens where it's like nobody that I really want to hang out with is in Queens. Personally,
well, don't tell that to my mom. She'll be very offended.
I would love to hang out with your mother. but we got to meet in the city. We got to meet up in the city. I mean, the cousin that I'm closest with lives in, not in Queens, but she lives in Harlem, and we see each other like three times a year. It is really like something about, if you don't live in Brooklyn, if you don't live either like in like downtown Manhattan or in Brooklyn, we're not going to see each other.
But even Brooklyn has levels, like North Brooklyn, South Brooklyn.
Totally.
I'm not really seeing too many people that live in South Brooklyn.
I'm not going really below Crown Heights very often. Crown Heights, Park Slope, maybe.
Why would you?
You know, I just like, you won't really find me any lower than that in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Now, what about moving on from things? I've decided I'll be moving on from something.
What's that?
DraftKings.
You're that giving up gambling?
I'm giving up DraftKings. As a brand, I really think they're playing games over there, and I'm not happy.
What's going on?
Because I started getting involved, and then I was winning all the time, and I didn't know anything.
Okay.
Then I learned everything.
And then you started losing.
And now I don't win anymore. And I think they're playing games with the odds.
Hmm.
Like they're making the odds worse so that it causes you to make stupider bets, more stupid bets.
Can I be honest with you?
That's how. So I think I'm done. But go ahead, be honest.
I don't know anything about gambling.
Mm-hmm.
I've never gambled on sports in my life outside of like making like bets with the homies, being $50 on like whatever. I don't understand. Anytime anybody's talking about gambling odds, I don't know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to be, oh, it's 300. They give it 15 points. I don't know what any of that shit means, but
it's almost incomprehensible.
And
that's how they get you.
Yeah. But it sounds like you know a lot about it now.
Yeah. I don't know too much about like what spreads mean. I don't know.
I don't know what that
mm-hmm. It's like plus something. I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm. They're plus 500.
But I understand like if you go in there and you're like, oh, I think Kelly Oubre is going to get over 20 points.
Yeah.
We can all understand.
Yeah.
I guess. That.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now I think whereas you used to be like, oh, I'm going to bet over 20 points and that would give you a good return.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're like messing with it. So now you'd have to bet 20 over 25 points to get the same return.
Well, Frex,
because now that they hooked us as a nation, you know, the first one's free.
I mean, Frex, I think
I'm done.
You're presenting it as if it is like a new conspiracy, but I would like to say that is
yes,
that is quite literally exactly what is happening.
That's the reason they exist.
It is not a secret. That is why they are a business, is to do exactly what you're describing,
and they're great at it.
Yeah. Like, damn, they got me
very much by design. I mean, they got me. It is crazy. I do feel like as much as I was like, what's the problem? Like gambling should be legal everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, since gambling has become so like ingrained in our society, the amount of homies that I have who are straight up gambling addicts has increased exponentially.
Exponentially.
I have a lot of homies who I'm like, bro, you are a Michael Longfellow. Mm-hmm. You know what he does? Longfellow will do this thing where he gambles like a 15-way parlay every single day.
Dude,
I do that too. I've literally hit a 16-leg parlay before and won, ready? $20.
Wait,
yeah. Because you bet like a dollar on it?
Yeah, because I would put
I thought the thing was if you bet like a dollar on it and it's like that many parlays, then it's so against the odds that if you do hit it, you get like 20 grand.
I mean, if you put a dollar on it, it's not.
If I had the balls to put 100.
Yeah, right. If you put like 20 bucks on it or something.
Okay.
Once I enter my silver fridge era,
yeah,
the wagers will go up.
Wait, so where are you gambling now that you're off DraftKings?
I haven't really been.
Oh, okay.
But
it sounds like you plan to continue.
I plan to find a new company.
Do you think it'll be different?
No. Well, I think they'll give me a little bit. I think they'll give me like a couple months of fun before they pull the rug out again. Can you believe that they did this to me?
I can. I really can. This is one of the more believable things I've ever heard.
I know. Mike don't gamble either, right?
Oh, I don't have any money to do it now.
Whoa,
love gambling. What? We're moving studios. There's a lot going on here financially.
Sure. Oh, that's right. We're moving. Any other thoughts on moving?
I'm excited to get the fuck out of this place. I'll tell you that.
You sound like a talk show.
Any other thoughts on moving?
You sound like a talk show. You sound like Kelly Ripa. That was really professional.
Sorry, what'd you say, Mike?
I'm just excited to get out of here. As the herd might know, we've had some problems with our neighbors in this building.
Mm. Mike hates our neighbors because they do TikTok shop 24 hours a day.
TikTok shop?
Like they have two rooms next door where they have all these clothing racks and items set up.
Was that little hot girl that we just saw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They do have hot chicks in there a lot, which is kind of nice.
That's the business.
She was very beautiful. I was like, who is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is she doing in the basement of the WeWork?
I was like, we can't be doing the same stuff down here. I know that.
Imagine I go, she's the producer. She runs the boards.
And here she comes. Bring her on in. Yeah, right. Michaela, come on.
She's the intern. How do you feel now? Now your career is in trouble. How about that? She's the intern.
We set you up, Devin.
She's the intern. She's 14.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. No. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that's what they do next door.
Yeah, it's very loud. It's very annoying. And we're going to a new, bigger, better place. But
congratulations. You know. Moving on up yet again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's it for me. Moving wise. The hardest move I ever had to do was out of my childhood home. Mm. I lived 18 years in the same apartment.
Where?
In Eastchester, New York.
You've always said that and I've never known where that is.
The reason it's confusing is because it's in Westchester, but it's called Eastchester, but it's in the middle. It's not in the east or anything.
Oh, that is crazy. But that's...
It's next to like Mount Vernon.
It's next to Westchester?
Yonkers. No, it's in Westchester.
It's in the middle.
It's called Eastchester.
But you've got a really... I've met a lot of girls from Westchester. You got a different thing going on.
I'm from a different culture.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, the thing... Yeah.
But I guess that's Eastchester versus Westchester. I guess it's right there in the name.
I'm from like the very Irish-Italian, like construction business type of town. It's very nice. We have Lauren Taylor's. We have the New York Sports Club.
Hell yeah.
We used to have the fucking Barnes & Noble, Friendly's. Like, we had all the good shit that people wanted. But it's sandwiched in between these, like, famously wealthy, like, top 10 in the nation towns. So, like, Scarsdale is one of the...
Rye
is further north. But my town, Eastchester, which is just known for having the most unreported income in New York State, is sandwiched in between, like, two of the most famously wealthy towns, Scarsdale and Bronxville. Mm. Bronxville's all like old waspy hedge fundy type of money.
That's
like lacrosse, like the Lacoste shirt type of Westchester.
I think that's where whatchamacallit is from. The guy who plays Sonic the Hedgehog.
Don't know who that is.
Doesn't matter.
That household name.
Continue. You guys, y'all do know who it is, actually. If you look up the guy who plays Sonic, you know who he is.
And then Scarsdale's like just also famously wealthy for like, I don't know. A different
community.
Yeah, like a Coach wristlets.
Oh, I see.
Like a Gucci bag.
My
town is like white Acuras with the Italian flags in flames on the side.
And I like that. Yeah. I'd rather be
so
there.
People had money, but it was like in their pocket.
Yes.
And it was like, you got to take out the wad.
Yeah. I mean, God.
And so I acquired that sensibility.
That's the type of stuff. But like to me, when I was growing up, that's the type of shit that was so fly.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
Even if you were like, oh, well, this is probably all the money that this man has.
100%. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He probably has absolutely nothing in the bank.
Out, yeah.
But he
pulls $6,000.
You know what I'm saying? But he pulls out two racks and he's just like, it's like 100, 100, 100, 50, 50, 50, 20. And he's got like a rubber band on one arm and like a gold band. Those kinds of guys would be like for me, it was like barbers.
Yeah.
Like barbers always had so much cash growing up and they whip that wad out. And I'd be like, that's the coolest man I've ever seen.
It's so cool.
I don't
cool.
care about the guy who has fucking equity. Like
everybody wants you to know, like they're going to take care of you.
You know what I mean?
I got you, hon. You know, we're going to take care of you. Whereas like the real wealth is you don't ever bring the money out.
Yes.
And you don't even drive a nice car because you don't even want people to know, but it's all in the funds, the S&P 500.
Yes.
Whereas my town, like it was all buried in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
People would have these mini mansions with zero backyard, zero front yard, zero side yard.
Oh, really?
And a huge, like one of those like Barbie mansions no land.
And a big ass TV.
Definitely.
Big ass
TV. You're a big ass TV.
Sonic the Hedgehog, Ben Schwartz, by the way.
Y'all know who that is. Yeah, you know who that guy is.
Yeah. If I saw him, I would know. You know who's from Eastchester? Cool. Bobby Moynihan from SNL.
Awesome. See?
Who I've never even met.
You never met Bobby?
Uh-uh. I met him. I crossed paths with him one day at like the high school like career day or something. But I've never met him in the wild.
Is Eastchester really like holding him up? Like, are they really like,
I think, I okay, like, this so is our boy? This is what I always say. Top three most famous people from Eastchester. Mm-hmm. Number one, Bobby Moynihan.
Okay.
Number two, me.
Oh.
Number three, Anthony Gizzo's mom, who won $1 million on the scratch off. At Exxon on her lunch break.
God bless. God bless. You know, that I feel like to me,
I can't be number two. There's got to be someone better than me, but I can't think of them.
To me, I mean, look. To me, like, that's a real, like, what you thought money was really is like, it tells me a lot about you. Like whatever you thought money was like growing up tells me like whether or not we like actually, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. Like to me, when somebody where I grew up if somebody like got a lot of money, it meant that like somebody died.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like they got it from like an inheritance and now they got like a bit, now they got a 2-story house with a pool.
Or
and,
fucking stole it.
And by the way, that was the plan. That was the only plan they had.
It's just like, God, I hope the one person in our family who did good dies, please.
My dad owned a restaurant for a little while, two restaurants for a little while. And he would have all, I don't know what he is. French, I guess.
You don't know your dad?
You don't know
he's from Yonkers, but he's like,
he's from Yonkers.
So you know what kind of cuisine that is. Yeah, right. So y'all know what he cooking.
Like our grandma's French. His mom is French. And then our grandfather was like English, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, but he would carry the bankroll for the restaurant in the pocket. So that was all the money. And he would just take it out and he'd be like, this is Puma's money. Puma was the chef.
Okay.
I'd be like, I need $20 to take the SATs. Uh-huh. Like, this is Puma's money. Well, here you go.
This is awesome. I feel like I really, except for like all the inevitable racism that I'm sure existed in your town.
Yeah.
I think that I would have really enjoyed it there. Like spiritually, I think I would have enjoyed. I think we wouldn't have gotten along on that.
You
would have
been the man there.
You think so?
Yes.
How many black people were there?
Very few. I think it's more diverse now. It's even my town. Now, like you go through and it doesn't have the same flavor. It's like even richer. And I think there's more racial diversity now, but there's not any more economic diversity.
I got you.
It's just getting more and more rich.
Okay.
There's a lot of rich families, but of all colors. But
I mean, I guess isn't that America,
baby?
Isn't that the America that Barack promised us?
Isn't that what they said?
Isn't that what Barack promised us?
They said all races will be able to move to the racist town.
There you go.
And buy a mini mansion with no land.
Kind of. That's kind
straight
of.
Straight cash.
And that's
straight
what it's all about.
Cash. No payments.
Okay? And then we'll all go to the Italian restaurant Chow's tonight, which is owned by the Albanians.
It's owned by the Albanians and Mexicans are working in the kitchen.
Yep.
And we're going to break bread. Okay? Yeah. And that's what it's all about.
Sounds beautiful to me.
That's what it's all about. Mm. Well, this has been a beautiful episode. I really thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody check out Devin. He's on summer break.
I'm on tour. I'm on tour. When does this come out?
Tuesday,
yeah.
Tuesday? Oh, perfect. Chicago. I don't know how those tickets are looking, but I know we're doing 4 shows. Let's sell them out. I'm also going to Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Go to my Instagram. Go to my Twitter. Click on the link. All the stuff's in there. Come see us on tour.
Did those plugs straight to camera too. What a pro.
It's a pro. You will not be disappointed. Go check out Devin on tour. Drop a like, drop a comment. You know the vibes. You know I love your ass. Stop. See you next week.